For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of shine. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 309 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Damn Skippy, Hollis Thomas, and Primo, a.k.a. Prime, in the building. Today, we're talking the recap, Eagles versus Cowboys. And let me tell you, man, the vibes were immaculate. Starting with a dope-ass tailgate, the vibes were flowing. It flowed right into the game. Right into the game. So the pregame... You can't go wrong anytime Meek Mill's played in the stadium. But when Meek Mill performs right before the game, I think the level I look over to my left, I hear Prime is like, "Is he in the building? Is he in the building?" So I felt like right from the jump, I think the Eagles really set the tone. Obviously, we wanted a curb stomp. You know, they played a great first half. And I thought Dallas fans in the stadium were very shook. I think Prime was targeting all Dallas Cowboys in our vicinity, letting them know what it's all about. But overall, I just feel like the Eagles, whether you Dallas fans out there like it or not, y'all lost to the Eagles. I don't care if you had the vaunted defense, you had your backup quarterback. Bring a better 53 to the table. You can't keep on crying about – you know, like, you know, if Dak's not in, Dak's not in.
Well, on the Dak thing, you know, they were making concessions already talking about Cooper Rush has done some things that Roger Staubach hadn't done. They were already saying that this will be the tell if they need Dak back or not. They were already making saying that Cooper Rush had been doing better than Dak. They don't have any excuses. They've tried all the excuses known to man. And the best thing that I saw, you guys were able to go into the game, but I was privy to a bunch of different pictures of Cowboy fans, and the best one, I don't know if I sent it to you guys, but it was a jersey that said "Sad since 19," and the number was 96 on the jersey.
I saw that.
That in a microcosm, it's everything you're saying, and I wish I was there to see Prime. Give out some Cowboy noogies, but it's like that said it in a microcosm. And the one thing I didn't tell anybody else this either, because Lito Shepherd had stopped by to see me when he got in town, and he had one of his childhood buddies with him. The jackass came over here, Cowboy geared out. I said, "Don't even get out the damn car." I gave Lito what I had to do, and he started talking about the Cowboys. And he did exactly what the Cowboys fans do. Before the game, they talk hot cash money shit. After the game, they're nowhere to be found in sight. I'm going to ask everybody out there, have you heard anything from a Cowboy fan since before the game on Sunday night? I'll leave the floor open to you guys. Have you guys heard anything from anybody who's talking? Wait a minute, Prime, have you heard from your brother?
No, sir. No, sir. The thing is that, you know, I mean, these Cowboy fans go missing. You know, yesterday I had four Cowboy employees called out of work. Four. All right. And you know, my ass went in that building first thing as soon as I got in there. I did show up to work late. You know what I mean? So I played my cards right, and I called my boss the night before, and I told him, hey, listen, I know I'm going to go ahead and get wild tonight, so you can count me in on being at work, but when I'm ready to come into work. So just giving you a heads up. Yeah, so the first thing I did was go look for my brother, go look for those Cowboy fans, and I find out that they all called out of work. So
I wonder why.
I mean, but, you know, I definitely redeemed myself today. I had my flag with me, and I let them know that we are 6-0. All right? 6-0. And at the end of the day, it's always going to be Dallas sucks.
Yeah. Love the hat. Love the hat. Love the energy.
Shout out to my boy, Diehard Philly.
Hey, what do you have to say about that, Gail, about the Diehard Philly guy? Show him your hat.
Oh, I got a tie dye. This is representing
the fit, man. I like the fit.
I'm just teasing you because of what we were talking about beforehand.
But, well, Ev, I see you got Sixers on. I see you and you got Phillies on. So Ev, you're representing the Sixers tonight, but
I mean, it was somewhat of a toss up, man, because, you know, the Eagles obviously are number one in my heart, but Sixers are my number two team, man. I wanted to sit here. I'm all in on the Phillies bandwagon right now. I can't wait to after we jump off of here and we're watching that Phillies Padres game. But man, the Sixers really got the special spot in my heart next to the Eagles, dude. So really excited for this next season for the Sixers and. Just wanted to show off my colors, bro. I'm excited for the new year.
Well, yeah, I'm truly excited, basically, because this is the first time in a while, actually, since I've been in the city, that all the sports are actually doing pretty decently. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the first time since I've been here that the Sixers are starting the season and the Phillies are still playing.
Right, right. I mean,
and then let's not forget the Flyers. They start off 2-0. Everybody says that they're going to be stinking up the joint. But right now, they're kicking ass, and I think the winning is permeating throughout the city.
So, yeah.
And well, I know it's going to fall on deaf ears in this podcast as well, but the Union are the best team in the MLS.
Yes, the Union, my bad. So respect I keep that wanting as well. To call them the Soul. The Philadelphia Union, they actually have a playoff game as well coming up.
Yes, they do.
So
Andre Blake in goal.
You know, the funny thing is, like, there's this vibe, you know, the Phillies set it off. They set off the tone because I was at Xfinity Live and people were going ape-ish out there.
Are you talking
about
the Phillies set the tone that day or the Phillies set the tone?
Well, I mean, they set the tone. They set the tone for this weekend into the Eagles game. They just flowed right into the game. And I felt like from the very, very jump, I felt. Again, like we started a podcast last week, and I was started off very confident. I never backed off what I said. I felt that vibe, and I felt like the Eagles kind of came out and set the tone. I mean, from the first half, what was your guys' biggest takeaways from the first half?
I've been saying to people for weeks that it was after we beat Jacksonville and we were 4-0, and I said to them, I was like, do not let us go into this bye 6-0. I will be on the verge of insufferable, and here I am. And I got to tell you, after that first half, I was a level above insufferable, man. We were whooping the Cowboys' ass. We were sitting there 6-0 in the right in front of us, and I never, even though we started to waver a little bit in the third quarter, I never for a moment thought we were going to lose that game. I know it got to 20-17 at one point.
Yeah, no.
I never feared for a moment that we were going to lose that game. And that's what's special about this Eagles team to me is that I haven't had that feeling that we're going to throw this one away this entire season. This is a team that is built to win and just continues getting better. I think the craziest thing to me is that I haven't seen an Eagles team that is this dominant, but at the same time, like each and every game, they're leaving money on the table, man. They haven't played to their full potential all year long, and they're 6-0. And so that to me, that is foreshadowing for what's to come. What when the Eagles are able to take this bye week, work together, get healthy, they're going to come back just rolling, man. I don't see a loss in our near future, man. I really don't.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you say about the loss part, Ev. And the buzzsaw is coming back from the bye week. It's always been the last time we were 6-0, I was on the team, and the buzzsaw has always been the Steelers. And that's the buzzsaw we're coming back to. If we're able to get past, but if we're able to get past, like you're saying, if we're able to get past that, then Mal.
Yeah, he's on to something.
Mal may be on to something, but Larry Zonka, you know, Larry Zonka, they're having a 50th anniversary this week of the only unbeaten team ever in the NFL. He said he's sweating in his shoes right now because the Eagles are currently employing the same formula that they used to get to that to be the only unbeaten team ever with power running game and play action pass and getting it done defensively and offensively the way we're getting it done. So they have a bottle of champagne each year that they wait to pop, and they pop that bottle of champagne after the last unbeaten team is beaten. He's kind of sweating right now. I heard him do an interview the other day because they're actually going to do the thing this week with the 50th anniversary. Rest Don Shula, who calls Bill Belichick Bill Belichick, rest his soul. But that's one of the things that Mal may have been onto something, maybe onto something here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy, man. When you look at the schedule, it kind of sets it up for that. But just talk about Jalen Hurts and his performance on Sunday, 155 yards passing. On the ground, he put in 27, but he did for you hating ass running touchdown. You know, people are hating against those scores. He did have two touchdown passes, one to AJ Brown and one to Devontae Smith. I think his performance, like, you start seeing that the trickery, how you know, the triple option or what they're doing, the RPOs, they are putting defenders in a blender. They are picking, you could say, one of these, you say pigeons out there. Like,
yeah,
pigeons, you have to play sound technique and be very disciplined out there, the way that they're deploying, Jalen Hurts out there. Look at Micah Parsons. Obviously, Micah Parsons has been very phenomenal over the last couple of years, but they were leaving that man unblocked and they were had guards pulling. He was getting, punched in the mouth by even your boy Suamalu. They had a lot of guards pulling, and I think they had him in a blender. I like that play from AJ Brown. He had him. He's like, do I go after Jalen or do I go after AJ Brown? You know, they set him up. What'd you guys think of that?
I mean, it, regardless on however he played his scheme that night. He didn't have his best game against us. These Cowboy fans are, speaking like, oh, he got lucky. You know what I mean? He was doing his thing at the end of the game. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you said. You know, that was when Lane Johnson went down. When Lane Johnson wasn't in there, Michael Parsons was making a difference. If Lane Johnson had stayed in that game the whole game, bro, you weren't going to hear Michael Parsons' name at all because he was shutting that shit down. Mm-hmm. All right. These guys, Ev, you talk about, like, in that third quarter, you didn't have nothing to worry about. Well, bro, being in that building, and Gail could vouch for this, I was losing my mind seeing those guys coming back. And because it was off the same fucking play. The same play. They kept running the same play on us.
Yeah.
And that shit was upsetting. Like, all I kept on thinking about is Gannon. Like, all the shit Holly says about Gannon, all the shit the followers say about Gannon, all the shit that we say about Gannon. Like, yo, just get it together. Shut this shit down. Like, what the fuck is going on? I didn't understand. I mean, it was a bootleg. Yeah. Whether if it was to the right, to the left, it just kept on happening. It kept on. I mean, bro, not for nothing, the past 2 weeks, I've counted 17 attempts, 16 successful plays bootleg against us on the bootleg.
Yeah,
and that shit really needs to get, that was my only worry, Ev.
Yeah.
I told myself we are not losing this game, but we gotta fix this shit.
Yeah,
we gotta fix this shit. And I was snapping on Gannon.
And I mean, this man was mad as hell, bro. I had to calm him down.
He did have to calm me down. And then the Cowboy fan that I'm trolling the whole damn night, you know what I mean? It gave him the opportunity to talk shit to me. So that's why it pissed me off even more. Because he's like, yo, you quiet now. You know what I mean? You quiet. And I'm like, I'm here. You're right. You know what I mean?
But
we came back. Hold on. We came back and we ran that ball down their throats. know what I mean, to go ahead and get that finalized touchdown on them. And I tell you what, my man, yo, he wasn't ready for me, because all I kept on was like, yo, where you at? You know what I mean? Like, I don't hear you now. I don't hear you now. And all and I, everybody with the Dallas sucks. And then I had, as soon as they stopped, I'm like, yo, I think they talking to you. You know what I mean? I think they talking to you. But it was a great night, man. I mean, it was just like the momentum, especially in that first half, that place was off the chain. And that's what helped, because we kept the momentum throughout the whole game. The whole game, the place was just electric. And, you know, man, I know that played a big part that night.
The part that I didn't like was we didn't have our gap integrity. And that's what you're talking about. We kept on getting out of our gap versus the run, and I felt like it was due to the guys' pad level. My guys up front, the pad level, and them not recognizing. It's sometimes the coach can't do much on bootlegs. As a defensive line, as a defensive front, you have to see what we call elephants on parade. Elephants on parade is when they give you that fake ass play action fake, but they're not leaving the line of scrimmage because he's going to come out of there. You have to see them going right down the line of scrimmage instead of coming off and hitting you. I felt like our pad level was so damn high, and they've been not Dak, but what's the boy's name? Ezekiel Elliott, the tackles we were missing on him. I just felt like I'm like, come on, we needed to run some run blitzes, which would have took us to stop it. That's what it's going to take to stop the play action fake and the bootleg setup. I just didn't like the way that we were deployed against the run. And you're correct, Jonathan Gannon didn't do anything in that drive, but I felt like the secondary was going to make some adjustments, which came about on the third pick. You saw the adjustments my safety came up and he made that pick. When you look at it, the thing that I think that galvanized this game and let me know that they were not going to beat us was the first two picks in the first half. You come out and you throw those type of picks early on, it puts your team behind the eight ball. And the other part, I know my boy Andrew is watching. Andrew Hurst, he said this. He said what they did to Michael Parsons was they made him just like everybody else, and they treated him just like everybody else. We didn't make concessions to put two or three people on him. And then when we was blocking everybody else, they was like, well, this is where Micah normally makes a play. No, we treated that chump just like he was, just like the rest of y'all. He was a chump just like y'all, and we kicked y'all ass up and down the field. I had no concession. I knew when they scored that they didn't have it. Their defense didn't have an answer for what we were doing to them. Like you said, Michael Parsons had to make a decision. He had to make a decision whether to come get the quarterback or drop back, because he could try to keep up with the real number 11, but he wasn't going to do that. And he wanted to hit the quarterback. So I never wavered against us kicking their ass. Because they don't know how to close, and they were just going to make excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. So
if there's one thing that I can just shed some light on to maybe ease the pain of us hating on Jonathan Gannon right now, and don't get me wrong, that was pathetic what happened in the third quarter with that coach.
12-point drive, really? Yeah,
but let's look at this. The Eagles' defense, the last five straight opponents, have held their opponents to 17 points or fewer. 7 points, 8 points, 14 points, 17 points, 17 points, respectively. It has been since 2009 since they had a five-game stretch where they did the same feat. So, I mean, listen, I understand that the way that the game was played out, it seemed like we were losing it at one point. But I got to tell you, man, this defense, no, Hollis, it's been solid the past.
I'm saying is I never felt like we were losing it.
No, yeah.
It just the drives come at a to me at a weird part of the game.
Right.
But it's kind of like this, and me and Hugh Douglas used to talk about this on the sideline every time. It's like we know that they're going to make a bit of a not even a run, but they're going to get some stuff going together. The other team is paid as well to play. We just got to minimize what they do. We got to put our foot in their ass, and then the offense has got to turn around and back us up. That's what a team is about. I was glad that the offense came out there and put their foot in their ass like they did to give the defense time to recoup and to see what went wrong. Because you see, when we came right back after, we were able to get a pick right away because they tried to go back to the well too many times, the same thing. And our defensive line was able to make some concessions. and make him throw faster than he wanted to, which made him throw the floppy disc. And my boy Chauncey get another, his third interception. So
exactly. That brings me up to my next point is that I think the elephant in the room this entire year is the turnover differential. I mean, you look at the Eagles are plus 12 right now. We have 9 interceptions, 5 fumble recoveries, and we have 2 interceptions that we have thrown. So that's plus 12. The next closest team in turnover differential is plus 4. So that to me is the biggest stat of the entire year so far. The Eagles are winning these games because this defense is creating turnovers. I mean, what's that?
Yeah, I mean
the DB is the secondary. Exactly. We didn't have the same kind of secondary last year.
And I love what DeShay says here, where he's talking about CJ Gardner-Johnson has 3 interceptions. The Saints that gave him away, they have 1 as a team.
Yeah.
Howie is the man.
That's very key, man.
And I don't want to cut you off, but I just have to finish by saying CJ is growing into one of my favorite Eagles quickly on this squad, man. Not only is he a baller out on the field, I just love his mentality, dude. I love when in the post-game press conference and he's being asked about his hand, he's like, nah, don't worry about it. I'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
He just wants to go out there and win.
Exactly. I love that was the one thing that I was really, you know, excited about, you know, and I appreciated the fact that he didn't sat out. You know, I mean, he found a way to come back into that game. I mean, bro, when Kayvon Wallace was
he avoided
out there,
getting X-rays. My thought process was he didn't get X-rays on purpose because they would have been like, "Nah, you can't go back."
Yeah, you can't go back.
Hey, but listen, when Kayvon Wallace is in there again, Gail can vouch. I'm losing my shit, bro. The way he's running the route to make the tackle and everything, miss the tackle, it was just like,
angle pursuit.
His angle pursuit was horrible.
God awful.
Where was Reed Blankenship, man? Like, I would have rather seen him out there than Kayvon Wallace.
Yeah, what happened to Reed? I thought he was.
I don't know.
He has better angles than Kayvon. I was like, I think Chauncey saw that too. He's like, oh man, we got a. It's like we got this clown. I don't need an X-ray. I'm going back out.
Yeah. To go back to the Ed's point, just a bit being about like this defense, man. This defense during the offseason, so one of the things that I mentioned about, like, you know, and Fletcher Cox had made mention of it about getting those opportunities for offense. They knew last season they didn't give enough opportunities as a defense for their offense, and now that they're doing it, I feel like it's a perfect scenario for Jalen Hurts, the guy who can you give him a couple more drives. It's, you know, and it's been showing. Like, you get these defenses tired, they get them in a blender. By the end of the fourth quarter, they're just doing the same thing over and over. Look, you go back to Detroit, you go back to Arizona in the fourth quarter. Now you go back to this game, perfect opportunity to just let them know what it's all about. Let them know what this running game is all about. That takes the will away from some of these defenses, you know? And I feel like as we go on and on, I'm looking at the matchups and I'm like, we match up supremely well against these other teams coming in. And that's where I'm feeling great. Yeah. And then again, you talk about the clamps we talked about.
Right.
Darius Slay and Bradberry are playing phenomenal ball out there. I feel like there's more to that too, man.
I mean, can we talk about another elephant in this room that no one is addressing? And that is the fact that, I mean, like, how hype were we that we drafted N'Kobe Dean? And then, like, who comes off the field right now to put N'Kobe Dean in? These linebackers are absolutely balling right now. When was the last time as Philadelphia Eagles fans, we've looked at our linebackers and be like, man, we're too deep. When does that ever happen? Like, dude, that is a phenomenal problem to have. All
right, a good problem to have. Exactly.
N'Kobe's in the bullpen right now, getting warmed up.
Yeah,
dude. And I have no doubt that if N'Kobe needs to be leaned on for injury purposes or whatever, that he can step in and it'll be seamless.
Yep.
Jordan Davis getting warmed up.
Yeah, Jordan Davis is getting warmed up a little bit. It's like I was saying, the angles that Kevon Wallace was taking. I still don't know why we kept him over the other guy. But when he gets in there, he just can't get – he's been trying, but he just doesn't get it. And but the other part of it was, I feel like my guys up front, the pad level was getting too high, especially interior guys. The pad level was getting too high because a lot of times we get into this rut of a team passing all the time. And so instead of playing the run first, you play the run on your way to the pass, but you still got to destroy the blocker in front of you. And we're not using our hands, getting off the blocks violently. Like I was telling you guys, I wanted the young guys to employ. The only one that's really doing it is number 95. You see him making a lot of plays, and that's why.
Yo, and he's in there, and yeah. His playing time is by far like way up there. And it's just like, wow. I mean, he is definitely a playmaker. He definitely makes a difference on that line. Watching him play on Sunday, making he was doing his thing. So, you know, I know we've been questioning, like, you know, what's going on? Is he the go-to guy? Like, we've been seeing him a whole lot. Yo, he's answering our questions on a weekly basis because he is doing his thing. So I'm all for it.
Didn't answer our questions and talk to prospect.
He didn't answer y'all questions and win.
Talk to prospect. We tried to get him lined up for an interview before he got drafted, but yeah. we weren't able to get things lined up.
Can't get them all.
I know, you know. It's okay.
Now going to your offensive, Tupelotu.
He's a cool kid. I like him.
Going to your offensive MVP for this game, who would that be? We'll start with Hollis. Who's your offensive MVP?
Man, the offensive MVP is got to be the player of the offensive line. When you look at it, it was a tall order because if you look at the way that the Cowboys have been playing, the defensive line, especially Micah Parsons, the defense were talking crap. D-Law, you saw all the pictures of us standing over DeMarcus Lawrence talking about weed and boys. You saw number 97 get pissed off because he was getting drugged, and then he jumps up after the whistle and tackles Kelsey. I was like, if you used that same energy throughout the play, maybe you wouldn't have got your ass kicked. So my MVP is the offensive line for kicking their ass. Even when my boy Lane Johnson went out, we said the offensive line still stood up and just whooped them like cornbread batter. It's like you don't get the 26 points that we got. You don't get them without putting Micah Parsons on. Because I say it like this: the Cowboys' last game against the Rams, one of the very first few plays. Sack, force fumble, touchdown. The defense is all because of the defense line without blitzing, and we took that same defense and we kicked the ass our offensive line, and I still feel like without them there is no us.
I mean, I'm with Tank here, man. I'm like, the ball was spread around kind of evenly. I mean, Jalen Hurts for 155 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a great game, but like, if I'm really looking at this, it's not the offensive line to me. It's specifically Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson held his own against Micah Parsons, absolutely dominated him. And then you just saw what difference it was when he gets out of the game. So that to me, just seeing that stark difference between when he's in and when he's out, truly proved to me what an impact Lane Johnson made on that game.
I mean, we talked about Lane Johnson and his lack of respect that he gets across the league sometimes. And you saw it. You saw it handily. I think, you know, Driscoll, and you know, he comes in and gives you valuable snaps off the bench. But, you know, at times he did have trouble against Mike, and that's to be understood.
You know what? Somebody tried to try me when they brought Big Clinton back and had him up. And I was like, they was talking about he was better than Jack Driscoll. I was like, in what multi-universe? you see who they put in there when he went down. Yep. Nobody has confidence in that kid. He's just on the team because he's a first-round draft pick. That's it. They don't want to be wrong. They don't want to give him away for nothing. Because pretty soon somebody's going to need an offensive lineman, and Howie will be there just like this. Here's your candy wrap piece of shit. I mean, yeah,
I wish Hollis would stop calling me Big Pudding. Quite frankly, I don't enjoy it or appreciate it. I got a little thug life in me, and you'll see it.
I would have been playing already.
I love how Hollis just powered through and kept on talking while he was
I will power through it.
So did you
give your offensive MVP?
Okay. Well, mate, no. I mean, I know you guys gave it to the offensive line, but I'm going to go ahead and go with the three-headed monsters, man. Scott, Gainwell, Miles Sanders, that last drive played a big factor. Yes, it had a lot to do with that offensive line, but those guys, they went 110% on every time that ball was handed to them, all three of them. All three of them went straight in and did their things. I don't care if it was 3-4 yards, all that shit totaled up, and it got us that last touchdown that, you know what I mean, I'm really grateful for, because they came together and they played their asses off on that last drive. So, you know what I mean, those three were my offensive MVPs, the way they finished that last drive off.
That's nice. That is so a quality point. What do you got, Gil?
So we had offensive line. Ab, you had
Lane Johnson.
You had the running back. I'll go with the wide receivers. The wide receivers, I'd say, are 1A and 1B. At the end of the day, when you try to lock down A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith will eat up your number two. So I feel like week in and week out, those guys have been they just set the tone, man. Like, how are you going to cover those dudes? Who are you going to cover? How are you going to cover those dudes?
Devontae and A.J., it's lights out. But I'm going to be honest with you. Quez is kind of a Robin, bro.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I don't know how much Robin it is.
He has the speed that you have to, like, the defense has to respect it, and it has the ability to stretch the field. But realistically, with the ball in his hands, he hasn't done much this year.
Well, I'm gonna say he's a role. Yeah, I think he's a role player. So I mean, in actuality, we know
Robin was a role player.
We know that AJ and Devontae are the Batmans.
But the point was of what Darius said is we have no Robins on this team. I'm just saying, yeah, we do.
If you ask Jaquez, is he a Robin? What do you think he's gonna say?
Of course he's going to say no. He's going to say, F you, Evan. You're a dumbass podcaster. You don't know shit.
Who never played the game.
So he's going to come here. What if he comes to the tailgate? He's like, Evan, your cheesesteak is Robin amongst the Batmans. Oh, you'd be upset, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know. Your cheesesteak is
a Batman. Your cheesesteak is a Batman.
How much money do I get paid to make cheesesteaks?
Your cheesesteak is the Batman, okay? Amongst us.
But that's what makes everybody Batman on this squad is because they feel like they should be number one. And when you build a team with this type of competition at every position, except for Kevon Wallace and obviously Big Puddin. Everybody, and when you ask everybody who's Batman, who's Robin, I'm Batman. and not in the sense where I don't know where I am Batman.
shout out to Prime this week. He brought me down to this like swap meet flea market thing. This dude, Prime, knows if you need something, Prime can get it for you. So he brought me to the space, had everything. Just you ask him, DM where the place is. But I found a Batman for like $10. I'm gonna customize this into a swole Batman.
He's already swole. What do you mean? The swole Batman.
You know who swole Batman is, right? AJ Brown.
AJ, yeah. So she's just gonna put the 11 on him? I mean, I don't. It's not many more muscles you can put on there. I'm just saying.
We're gonna put the 11 on it, and then we're gonna change the face.
Just tell him to stay tuned.
Okay, stay tuned. I see you're gonna paint the face brown. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
brother Batman. Brother Batman. Can't have a black Batman around here?
Yeah, sure we can. Have at it.
Everybody keeps watching
the baseball game and the basketball game at the same damn time.
So who's your defensive MVP, Mr. Defensive Guy?
Let me see.
Hollis?
I got to go with Chauncey. 3 picks. Right place, right time. It was, you know, he only had two.
He had three on the year.
Yeah, three for the year, but two.
Who got the third pick?
Darius Slay.
A big play. Slay. Oh yeah. And it was you got to get. Yeah, well he got the game clinching pick. Uh-huh. So you and then he got the other pick that was clutch. You really got to give it to him because we didn't really have to do it that much else because they, you know, we were just kicking their ass so bad. But the turnovers, the first two turnovers were the key. So, but I give it to him because he got that last turnover when just like Prime said, they went to that same shit again, that fucking bootleg, and he caught the second guy coming across. So yeah. Chauncey, and that is CJ.
I think, I agree with Hollis. I mean, there's really no other answer you can give it to than Chauncey. I mean, he left it all out on the line. The way he came back from injury, inserts himself back in the game, and then gets himself another pick afterwards. I mean, you really can't overlook that. But I do want to just show some love to TJ Edwards, who was just flying all over the field, man. I mean, 14 combined tackles. Dude was absolutely balling, man. And, I just – don't want him to get lost in the mix, but Chauncey Gardner is definitely the defensive MVP.
My guy, man, I got to say, and I know you guys already gave it to two defensive backs, but I'm going to throw a third person in there. He made a play, and I mean, I lost my shit the way the play was handled, and that was Marcus Epps. I don't know if you guys saw the one pass that he dove and ended up.
Yeah, the pass deflection. It was great.
Bro, play. I have not seen these guys play like that in a minute. I have not seen the defensive backs play like that in a minute. And the way that man made an attempt to go ahead and knock that ball down, I was ecstatic. And then I said to Gail, and I was like, you know, I'm screaming the whole damn time now. That's a play right there. That's what I'm talking about. So it was just like, it was that play. And then just seeing him, how he was hustling the whole game. I mean, he was shutting shit down his damn self. I mean, I know he didn't have a pick. And, you know, I mean, that definitely would have set him to the top. But he didn't need all that. He played his game a different way, and he played a big factor in that. So my defensive MVP was going to Marcus Epps.
I was saying to call him Marcus Tips on that play. I was like,
Marcus James Tips. Right. Marcus and he was trying his hardest to go ahead and tweet that out, man.
Wi-Fi is dead in there, bro.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is dead in there.
You have to use your own. You have to use your own Wi-Fi.
Oh, we were trying all different types of stuff.
Trying everything. Yeah. So my defensive MVP obviously got to go CJG. He mentioned in the presser today, like, just talked about some maturity things and how the coach spoke to him about and how he's kind of honed into the group. I feel like he said being around the guys, it's kind of really, you know, just made him hone into who he is as a player as well. Like, I feel like you're around Bradberry, you're around Slay. I think Epps has elevated his game to all the Epps haters that were out there. I think he's shown you what he's made of. Chauncey was the guy that, you know, people were like, well, why are you so excited about Chauncey? I'm like, bro, I've wanted Chauncey since drafted. You can go check the tweets when he was on the board, when guys like Clayton Thorson were there. Like, Chauncey, just to see him here, I asked for guys on the back end with range. He showed you that range on that interception after, you know, going back to Ev's point, being hurt and all, you didn't see it. So hat tip to Chauncey. I think he was also talking about Meek Mill and how that was his favorite rapper, and how just seeing that Meek Mill was just performing at a game, he said, how crazy is that? Like, going back to Hollis's point last week, talking about what, Ray Rhodes told you about having the guys come in.
Well, no, but that was different. We had Michael Buffer come in. Meek Mill is from here. Meek Mill has been with the team before. So it wasn't a surprise to me that he was there. That if, like, Michael Buffer is not from Philly. Michael Buffer is some random motherfucker who had a catchphrase.
He's an Eagles fan, though, isn't he?
Who, Michael Buffer?
Yeah.
He's playing against the Cowboys. I don't know.
Did you know Michael Buffer was at Michael Buffer was at the game, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he was wearing Eagles gear, yeah.
You sure?
It was funny. 100%. He was on the sideline. Sure. Show he was doing a gritty. He was doing a gritty dance. I was like,
are you gonna say sorry?
Fuck no, but I'm gonna say you were right. What can I say sorry for? It's like, if he's that cool, man. I didn't know that he was a Eagles fan, because they probably now, because he used to get he gets $1 million for saying his catchphrase each time he says it. so they paid him. That was when it was hot in Let's Get Ready to Rumble, the video game and stuff. It came out on the not so popular Dreamcast. What the fuck is that, really?
Hey, he's doing the gritty. It was his version of doing the, you know, I mean, the gritty.
The gritty.
It's the 75-year-old white man's version of the gritty. Come on.
But he was there.
That was horrible too.
He was there.
I stand corrected. But he
and Ty from ATL chimes in. He says he was there.
Yeah, it's like the funny thing is, at the time when we were playing against the Cowboys, even though he might have been there, he made concessions to come all the way to Philly and to say his catchphrase. And then as soon as after he said his catchphrase, Ray said, Fat T, we about to get our ass whooped.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anytime you break out all the bells and whistles,
Jerry Jones paid that. Jerry Jones covered that bill that day, so we were good.
Yeah, probably more than likely. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You know who also was there? Shout out to Todd, who's commenting right there. We bumped into Todd outside the game.
Yeah, man, that was
me and Prime.
He got in late, man. He got in late. He was pretty bummed out about that.
Yeah. I was over at the gatehouse. Watching the
sipping
game
on, with sipping on private stock, sipping
on private stock and stuff.
Private stock.
So going back to the tailgate though, man. I have to say that was going down there. That was the craziest I have ever seen. The stadium like that.
You know
what I mean? That dude, I'm telling you. I mean, I've been going.
We're talking about getting in there.
I'm talking about getting in there, like down at the stadium. I'm talking about 6 hours prior to kickoff. They shut down the lot. You weren't able to get in.
What time did you guys go? Because I went down at 4, and the lot was packed. I'm sorry.
I was in line at like 11:30.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm saying that at 2 o'clock you were not able to get into the Wells Fargo lot in any entrance. I tried, and the entire lot was packed. I have never seen it like that. I had to park across in the Phillies lot and carry a fucking grill and a gas tank. And thank you, Prime, for helping me.
Okay, just make it so.
But dude, that freaking sucked. I'm not making that mistake again.
Our DJ, shout out to Lowski.
Lowski
had to pay $100 to slip. $100 bill to one of the security guys to get in. I was like, bro, come on, man. It wasn't even that late.
When I drove by the Wells Fargo lot, I drove by at about 4:15. It was already jam packed, and it was campers and everything set up, dude. I posted a small video of it. I was like, damn, the game is not. It's still not for 4 hours.
Everything was already
set up, and I could see some people were already sauced.
Well,
shout out to Puka. Puka was a real MVP because he's the guy that held down the spots. I said, get out of the car. I was like, he ran over there, sprinted over there, held the spots. Shout out to Chris from VA, who also was down there early. We had made cones that we could put out there. Yeah. Bro, the real MVPs. Shout out to Puga back in El Paso. It was good to see you guys. It was crazy, man. That was dope. It was a dope tailgate. I mean, there's also shout out to a lot of you guys that are in the comments that showed up and showed support. You know, there was Adam.
Shout out to everybody for making it a shit show for the Cowboys.
Exactly.
and all the Cowboy lovers.
Shout out to one of the real MVPs of the day, too, in Jennifer Slay, because I had a cheesesteak line like no other. I'm talking like 50, 60 people deep, and I did not have 50, 60 sandwiches to hand out. As soon as the last of the cheesesteaks were cooked, and I turned to the people, I was like, listen, I got nothing left. In walks Jennifer Slay with an entire tray of banana pudding. So I just kind of pushed that entire line over to her, and I was like, they're your problem now.
So I'm trying to serve banana pudding with a plastic spoon. I was like, bro, we need We need to get some utensils, some forks and chopsticks. Utensils. Well,
then you ask me for the spatula, and I'm like, this thing's all onioned up, bro.
And he's asking me for the knife, and I'm like, we're doing cheesesteaks over here. Come on, man.
What do you want? Well, I didn't have that problem, but I went over and I got some of the most tender, delicious from the calf barbecue guy, kid.
Shut up.
He had some tender, delicious pulled pork that he had slow roasted for 8 hours. And they also had that I don't know if you guys have had his. He takes Cheez-Its and goldfish and smokes them on the barbecue pit with some seasoning. Changed my life. You need to check that shit out. It's delicious.
Really?
Trust me. Yes. And that sounds like a recipe
Lil Lucky would come up with.
Evan, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah, give me this shit.
Yeah. That good, huh?
Damn.
So is he using it as like the breading for like
No,
like...
he's not using any breading. He's putting it on like a steel tray on the smoker and put it on the pit and gotcha. Then kind of like cooking it and then sprinkling the he's got some type of barbecue seasoning he smokes into it and makes it delicious.
I gotta try it out.
But he had pulled pork that he had slow roasted for 8 hours. So but then there was another company came in with some tender delicious ribs that would fall off the bone delicious.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to. I may be trying to speak this into existence, but coming back from the bye week, Juggernaut Alex Levine, friend of the show, he was feeling a lot of FOMO not attending that tailgate. He was telling me, "Man, I got to come to the next one." So who knows? Who knows? Might have some more good eats. 2 weeks.
Tender, delicious meats.
Yeah. Pause. But.
that's your favorite word, delicious, man.
Tender and delicious.
I'm gonna start calling you delicious.
No. What if I'm down the street and you gotta yell that out? You gonna call another man delicious.
Come over here. Try some of this meat.
No, but it was the coolest thing was I didn't go in the game like you guys did, but watching the game and you could just feel like I could hear the stadium behind me, so you could like feel all the energy coming out, and you want that when you're playing the Cal Tur team, especially the part that I think some people think that my animosity is misplaced, but when you constantly talk about a mediocre team that gets their ass kicked on a year in and year out basis. And they constantly put them up at the forefront and try to call them America's team. As I switch shades with my, the American team is the Eagles. As I switch with the eagle above me, because the bird is the United States bird, the state bird. But they always make concessions and find a way to talk about these bums. And Helen, that's right. Dez Bryant lost a bunch of money. And he should have lost a bunch of money with his punk ass.
Let's go, 1-0. Let's go.
Hey, yeah, you see, I knew I wasn't the only motherfucker watching the Sixers.
Not at all, bro. This is what we do, wow. Man.
Wow. So everybody, we just got. Oh, nice. All right, man. All right, the exit velocity on that. Whoa.
Oh man, see now you're gonna make me. I'm trying to do a podcast
focus.
And
losing focus.
Losing focus. No, it's good vibes, man. It's good vibes, man. This is what it's about, bro.
Somebody said, "Why do you have on the shades?" I was like, "So you can't see my eyes peering at the TV."
But man,
because the picture that we're going against currently, he's one of those top notch aces. Oh, yeah. But we just took him to the yard.
That's it.
I mean, they were talking about on the radio on 97.5 just the other day that. If you think about, like, we might be entering a era of Philadelphia sports that we haven't seen for decades, man. He was talking about the era essentially from 76 to 84.
Yeah.
When the Flyers, you know, they had their Stanley Cup wins. The Phillies, they won the World Series in 80. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl in 80. The Sixers end up winning the championship in the early 80s. Dude, I mean, like the way that all of these teams are trending up, I feel like we're in gearing up for a once in a lifetime type of event going on here, man. The Roaring Twenties, we're back.
I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to go ahead and get all make all my time for all these
parades.
Parades. coming, bro.
Just don't run out of cheese sticks.
I said that on Twitter the other day. I was like, listen, there was people that were upset after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, just talking how Eagles fans are insufferable, blah blah blah. Don't let us win two championships in 1 year.
Don't let us win three.
I'm telling you, you will never hear the end of it.
Don't let us go undefeated. Don't let us win the Super Bowl. Don't let us win the World Series. Don't let us win the NBA championship. It's gonna be endless.
I think any fan base right now, though. I think fan base. If you look at it, but we actually, I take that back. We would be insufferable if we go undefeated and win a title.
Gonna shut the hell up until the next Super Bowl? I won't. I don't care if we don't win a game the following year. I'm not shutting that up.
I would commit to wear Eagles gear for the rest of my life.
Ev's gonna come on the pod eating horse shit. He's like, he's gonna be the new horse shit guy. Did you guys see the AJ Brown? They interviewed him after, and he just kind of like. It's just nice to hear players just talk about the atmosphere of playing in front of Philly fans, the environment, the passion level. He talked about being in this atmosphere. He's like, it was like a playoff type event. He's like, I have never played in such an event. This guy's played in some playoff games. And he's like, you could just see the look on his face. And I think that's a hat tip to all you Eagle fans out there, man. Super passionate.
Well, I mean, like, let's call a spade here. When it's great, it's great. When it's bad, it's bad. The players right now are basking in the glory, and they should be, because every one of these teams is playing well. But we let them hear it as soon as that doesn't happen, man.
But that's the beauty of it, F. Yeah. But that's the beauty of it. If you're a player and you can play, You know when the fans boo, yeah, I got something to boo about. Y'all not just booing just for the hell of it. Mm-hmm. I was like, but will you give them something to cheer about? They will cheer you on to kingdom come.
So let me ask you a question. So I remember very specifically the first game after we won the Super Bowl. We played the Atlanta Falcons. We came out slow in the first half. They got booed into the tunnel.
Right.
The first game after winning the Super Bowl. Warranted or not warranted as an ex-player?
Warranted. This is a what have you done for me lately league. The fuck? Nothing. If you, dude, it's like, it's kind of like we were talking before the show. And I still don't know how the fuck that the Denver Broncos got three primetime games this early in the fucking season.
Oh, my God. I think they got five total. It's absurd.
And they stink. And the thing was, is a lot of people are talking about what's wrong with Russell Wilson, what's wrong with the team and stuff. But you see the guys in the locker room, Russell, he comes with a lot of accolades. He didn't get those accolades there. You have to prove it now. You have to prove that you still got it. You haven't done shit yet. You haven't done shit in a Denver Broncos uniform. And that's you have to prove yourself to the fans year in and year out. Y'all spending hard earned fucking money to come watch our goofy ass play a game. And if you can't get your ass out the club, off the strippers, off
you
the
think
game,
Russell Wilson's messing around with strippers? Come on. he's a holy roller.
Okay. And I've seen a lot of holy rollers. I've seen them in the wrong place, in the wrong capacity, sir. Remember who his wife is.
That's true.
I want to answer some of these questions. A lot of people are asking, if I'm ready for all these parades. Let me make something real clear. You guys see my big boy back here. That's where it all started. But yes, I am ready for every single parade. You see the Phillies one here. All right. You see the Phillies one here. All right. You see the Sixers one here. Sixers one is here.
Like that.
Okay. Yep, I like that.
And then I got Jason asking me about a Stanley Cup. Let me tell you something, man. I've been trying my hardest to get into the hockey. I'm trying to convince the fourth and John to get into hockey. You know what I mean?
You don't like hockey?
I am
dude.
Always ready.
Oh, right?
I am always ready.
It's not that I'm not into hockey. It's just of the four major sports, it's just my least favorite.
Come on, we ain't got no time for hockey, bro.
That's more Gale than me. I got time for Tortorella. I like the new head coach.
I love him.
I've always been a Tortorella fan. Coaching the Rangers, I've always been a fan.
Eagle Sessions 24/7, 365 days a year. always Eagles. I just want to go back with one. I just want to go back to one point about you guys talking about the growth, sort of, or Kayvon Wallace.
His
tweet. And a lot of people talk about some of his tweets. His recent tweet was, "Y'all expect me to be great, so I can't be mad. It's all love. I love you Thank all." You. That's almost maturity for him. That's a mature tweet.
I like that tweet.
But no, it's not maturity. He gets it. It's like everybody who had their ass on their shoulder talking about y'all just criticizing. Motherfucker, you giving us something to criticize you about? Take the criticism and get better. Get your bitch ass out of here. I don't want to hear you bitching them on it. You don't bitch them on Tuesday morning. You know what Tuesday morning is? That's when you go pick up that check. You aimlessly go pick up that check without regret. Shut the fuck up and take the criticism.
Yo, Hollis, what's the worst criticism you got from a fan that where you got very annoyed and he took it to heart?
I've never taken anything that if somebody gives me some critique, I always take it in there.
You got to throw it in there. There it is.
And you know he's following behind me because
look how unbothered though.
Yeah, because unbothered. Because Jason Devine had the fucking he had the rule book and he was on the field, damn near on the field with his team.
He won't let that go.
He's like, it says right here in the rule book. I was like, but you won't give up the rule book, Dick Cheney. But not it's like it's kind of like you said, when the fan gives you critique, it's like you take it with a grain of salt because they pay to come see you play. I think some guys feel like they're telling you how to do your job. They're not telling you how to do your job. They tell you what you didn't do. And they know what you're supposed to do, but they tell you what you didn't do. And you can either accept it or get into a different field. Because it's never going to change.
It's the truth. We're not telling him how to do the job. We're just telling him, do your job.
Do your job.
That's it.
No, I mean, and I don't mean to dogpile on Kayvon Wallace, but like it's great that he is showing maturity and acknowledging that he needs to be better. But that's only half the battle, man. Now you need to go be better. You don't get a pat on the back just for saying the right thing. Exactly. You get a pat on the back for doing the right thing.
But now this is where you got to give him a chance to go do the right thing.
100%.
He said the right thing, but see, you just added the part where if he'd have came back after he didn't do the right thing again and say, yeah, you keep saying the right thing, but you're not doing the right thing. And what is this, his third year? He should be got it by now. It's like he's going to be a special teams demon pretty much the rest of his days. I'm still not taking anything back. Singleton. I watched Singleton play. What was all this tenacity at when you were here?
I saw him play last night, and he had a game, man.
What about a guy like Nelson Aguilar though? It took him like 5 years to snap into focus. I mean, it's not like he stayed in focus for very long, but I mean that Super Bowl year, dude, he was crucial.
Hey, as long as he got us that Super Bowl,
that was your five, bro.
But you know the funny part about that is like that next year. When he missed that touchdown, that clear touchdown pass to Atlanta, and
I was there. I remember it. Yeah.
Yes, I was there too. I was like, "Son of a bitch, he's going back to his old school stuff, huh, motherfucker?" But it's like, hey, it's somebody else's problem now. It's like one of those things where you think that somebody gets it, but then they revert back to what they're doing, and then you know, just realize that's what they're going to be. You count on them for the most part. I was like, but you can't, it's not in that kind of time for the most part. You got to hold your nuts when you throw it to him because, like, is he going to catch it? Oh, okay, he caught it. But then you got to realize the routine catches, he's probably going to miss one of them. Kind of like the CD Lamb. I was laughing because Shannon Sharp was talking about him. He's like his favorite candy bar is Butterfinger. And they were playing against the Giants, and one hit him like right in his fucking hands, and it went clean through. And I couldn't stop laughing. Because the next thing you know, he was catching a one-hander in the end zone. Oh. It's like he's kind of like a defensive back can't make the routine catches, but the ones with the high degree of difficulty, they make like their routine. So it was just pretty funny to me.
Just real quickly, getting back to the game, one more point that I wanted to kind of make that was another clear difference maker in the game to me was the penalties. I mean, the Cowboys fans will tell you that they got screwed, but the way that I look at it is the Eagles played much more disciplined football than the Cowboys did. And then they're going to sit here and say they got screwed, but then they go out, they're attacking Kelsey. You have Trayvon Diggs having a full-on temper tantrum in the end zone.
And that should have been
taking his helmet off. If you just look at the word of the law of the NFL, if you take your helmet off on the field, that's a penalty. So I don't know.
If you take your helmet off in anger, the way he took it off when he threw his temper tantrum. Not only that, they got away with a lot of holding calls. Talk about the cowgirl. Because that offensive line come out like this. If you can't see my hands, that you're already primed to hold. See that they come out like this, but like this, but hands like this. They were grabbing our guys, hugging them like it was Thanksgiving. I hate that shit, and that's why I say you got to be violent with your hands and make the referees make those calls. Because right now, I saw a show where Troy Vincent was explaining that they're backing the officials on the roughing the passer penalties, and I don't. It's like Troy is my boy, but I can't back stupidity. That's an embarrassment to the game. The roughing the penalty passer penalties that we saw over this past weekend, and even one of the ones in the game. I was like, what the fuck do you want the defender to do? But it's a basic tackle. And they're talking about something. He's whipping him down on the ground. Isn't he the highest paid fucker on the team?
Yeah.
And he can't take a textbook tackle. They need to get rid of that right now.
But yeah, those penalties were Dallas had 10 to the Eagles 2. To 72 yards, they gave the Eagles to our 10. And to Bob's point here, he's right. I mean, CeeDee Lamb did have that first down, but Mike McCarthy screwed up big time.
I do want to give a hat tip to Sirianni. I don't think we talk about him enough. I think
fuck you.
You talk about you go all the way back to his flower speech and he got ridiculed for that. You talk about the Beat Dallas shirt. You know, I think the progression, that's the thing that you like to see in your players, obviously in your young coach, I think he's coming into his own. I felt like, you know, even him being chipping on the sideline and Fletcher Cox being behind him, like, okay, coach, I like that. I think he's got this team going the right direction heading into the bye. You know, sometimes, you know, your team's a little lumped up, got some losses under your belt. You got a 6-0 team. You know, there's some guys have got injured and then come back. This is a perfect time for a bye. I think the messaging. What do you think the messaging is from Coach Sirianni to this team going into the bye?
To me, it would just be reiterating what he said a few weeks ago. I mean, this is a 17 round fight, and we're 6 rounds in right now. You just gotta settle down in the corner. We got a nice little break. Wipe off the blood. Wipe off the sweat. And get up fighting for round 7, man.
I mean, it's pretty much the best way to go ahead and put it, man. Like, yeah, take this bye week and enjoy it. Relax the body, you know what I mean? Because we got 9 more rounds to go, you know, and we got one focus, and that's to get all the way back to the top. So, yeah, just take the time, enjoy it, you know, be smart, be safe, and, you know what I mean, let's come back and let's just pick up where we left off and then be even more aggressive, you know what I mean? We talk week in and week out that we leave a lot on the table. Now it's time to gather all that's left on the table and bring it out, man, because, you know what I mean, we got to see those 3 teams in our division one more time, and we got some good competition coming up. But I'm going to go ahead and reiterate, and I probably speak for all of us when I say I'm not scared of nobody the rest of the way. Nobody at all. So now come back, you know what I mean, and let's go ahead and let's run this table like we've had planned on doing.
I was just gonna say, my thing is, I think he came out and said, let's go over the mistakes we made in this past game, put that one behind us, be safe, remember what the goal is, because everybody has a goal to win the Super Bowl at the end, but you take it one step at a time. The bye week is just another step of let's get back healthy, let's get back and sew up some of the things that we haven't had time to sew up, as far as like mistakes and becoming an error-free team, and pretty much that's pretty much it. Health is going to be the main thing, and stay the fuck out of trouble. Don't go do nothing fucking stupid. Don't you know?
And if you do, have Dom on speed dial.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you got to have Dom on speed dial, but you should. It's like, but you know, relax and enjoy the start. But know that we're not done. BDP, we're not done.
I think he's got these guys firing on all cylinders. I think the mental part of the game. I think he's really getting into their heads about how to, you know, because you got a championship, you know, level team in here. There's a lot of, we talked about the Batmans in here, and we talked about the egos and the egos in the locker room. I think he's got them all gelled together, and I think the one common denominator of like bringing them all together is Jalen Hurts. I think his messaging to the team is on point every week. I think he's a guy that he believes what he's saying, and I feel like the team is just really falling in line. So I think overall, I think going into the bye, I think they got to feel good about themselves. I think they got some time off, spend some time with some family. I think on the podcast, we might spend some time with the family. Any big plans for the bye week?
Ireland? Ireland and Scotland.
I'll be going over there.
Fucking yeah, show off.
I leave Friday for Dublin, Ireland, and be going over there for some Eagles fans over there. A bunch of them over there. I was supposed to go before the pandemic, but I'm going to. They reset it for the Eagles bye week. My boy Ian, he's probably watching us, but he's like, "But it's gonna be awesome." I'll send back pictures.
Yeah, maybe I'll hang out in the Irish section of Philadelphia. I don't know.
I'm not. Oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to the Irish section of Philadelphia. Not to like.
I'm saying myself because you know. I'm not going. Oh, okay.
I got to say the one thing that's definitely great about this season and why I feel so confident, because the stars are lined up for me, especially, you know, being one to say that I really am confident that these guys were going to go 6-0, and they proved it. And then now going into the bye week, it falls on my wife's birthday. So there's no Eagles being involved. There's no tailgating being involved. There's no me going away being involved. So I can play the perfect scenario and celebrate her birthday this year with no issues, no problems.
Somebody's right. Brown nosing.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, I mean, you can call it whatever you want to. I admit to it, but I mean, it's just like it's set up perfectly. So, you know, I mean, I plan on being with the wife, celebrating her birthday this weekend, and you know, probably actually go and show my brother some love. You know, since he's feeling down. You know, what I mean,
No.
I mean, hey, listen, man. Brotherly love.
Yeah, brother love. Just clap when the Cowboys go to the Lions.
Happy birthday, Adam. But I don't know about your bro. Your bro got a nice little visit to the link to watch it lose live. Last minute, we got some Bud Light tickets, and he came down and got to see his team lose live. So I'm appreciate you watching your team lose. I love you, bro. I do love you.
It's a shame that my niece had to suffer, bro.
I saw her face. I was like, y'all get out of here. Y'all get out of here. I'm going to
dad is like that. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. True. It's not about, you know, it's about how she's being raised. I'm going out to Dewey Beach. Shout out to my girl. We're going to go down and have a just chill time, man. It's, you know, not like I could swim down there, but I just need some peace and some quiet after that last tailgate, bro. I just need some quiet, bro. I was running around left and right. I'm just geeked about, like, I just feel like we're on vacation right now. Like, and we have the Phillies to support. They're 1-0 right now. Mm-hmm. They're throwing one. It's one up. They're one up.
1-0.
Yep. Okay. 1-0. Bryce Harper home run.
Sixers are down by 10 right now. Sixers are down by 10. But
yeah,
it's all good.
Bit of a buzzsaw, but you know.
One final thing before we get out of here. We were just talking about Nick Sirianni and showing him some love. I want to take a step back and look at it from a more macro lens. Let's acknowledge, and this tastes like vinegar coming out. I'm going to be honest with you. Let's acknowledge the ownership, bro. I mean,
I thought you were going somewhere else. I love my boy Jeff. Jeff is my guy.
When we first, the past two coaches that we hired, my initial thoughts was total goofball. Doug Peterson, Nick Sirianni. My first impression was this guy's a goof. I've grown to love each of them. I loved Doug Peterson. He brought us our first Super Bowl. I love Nick Sirianni. He also brought in Andy Reid, who was another all-time head coach. Chip Kelly is the one bad apple in that whole thing. So
he listened to you. Like, you say go get him.
I feel like we need to acknowledge the fact that while I sit here and I feel like they don't do their due diligence when they go and get a new head coach, they actually do. I like the guys that they brought in. What say you, Gail?
No, I think they did a great job. I think I know that they got their Fisher Price head coach, someone that they could, you know,
they could show some respect to Mr. 6-0 right now.
No, but I'm saying, like, as in, like, if you remember my Fisher Price phrasing, that they have the training wheels on him, that they can guide him to where they want to go. And I feel like they got their perfect match. Like, not every head coach wants to come in here and, like, have this.
They got their Stafford. The word you're looking for is Stafford coach.
Yeah, like, you know,
wife. They personally, you know, they can control. If that's the word you're looking for, yes, they got a guy that they can control. But the one thing that I will say is that Howie is starting to get the picking of the players correctly, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you're not just going after people who like guys who are fucking head scratchers. You're not going after the Danny Watkins, the fucking Andre Dillard's. It's like that people are like the Jalen Reagan. I'll soon we forget that. Huh? Yeah, mm-hmm. You're starting to turn that into gold, and you're starting as so coaches will want to come here, even though it's the, like he said, the Fisher Price, because it's unlike any other institution. But it seems they've slowly but surely gotten it correct now.
Mm-hmm. No, because
we're 6-0, winning covers all the shit. With roses, so
I do like to think they have a nice little collective group. You know, like I feel like they're in they got a groove. If they, you know, they got the draft department on the same page, that's a blessing. That's even better. Yeah. So I feel like
because I don't want to see no more fake fist bumps in the fucking war room because we drafted Milton. We drafted Milton and we should have drafted the kid out of NC State. And then the next day that guy is no longer there. Because he didn't do the fake fist bump. It's like, oh, he took a leave of absence. Yeah, right.
Man, look.
A lot of people get caught up in the Howie Roseman buzzsaw, bro.
You hear that man talk about flowers all the time. At the end of the day, it's like, I think he was pretty much talking about himself. I think he was talking about him being in his own garden, him blooming, you know what I mean? Like him actually getting the fan base, the coaching staff, the management to believe in him. So, I mean, like, that's how I look at it. I mean, we had to give it time. I mean, we were all, you know, we had all our ups and downs about him. But, I mean, right now, the man is on fire, and he definitely has all our attention. So, I'm happy for him.
I like that. Hey, look, I found this photo. I was trying to work it in somehow on the show. Look at a dude delicious over here. Mad.
What the hell were you thinking about right there?
Mill
in your head?
You call me delicious? Who called me delicious?
Who the fuck called me delicious? That was that was actually the NFC Championship game when I was playing with the Saints and we were in Chicago, mm-hmm. and we let Sexy Rexy beat us the fuck mm-hmm. out. It was a cool game, but it was actually one of the pitchers that everybody loved for some odd reason. As you can see, I still have my line and stuff.
He still had my line.
See, it was before the farewell tour began.
This man is seasoned over here, like roasting over here.
It was cold out there, and I was hot. Okay. I was on en fuego, the muy caliente.
So before we get out of here,
I just have one last thing to say about I love going into the bye, especially undefeated, but also it gives you a chance to enjoy everybody else getting their ass kicked around the NFL. It gives you a chance to walk around with your chest out, and you know, and then come back ready to get it started. But I was like, the one thing that I don't want the guys to do is to go and fuck something up, or Deshaun Watson or whoever the fuck Alvin Kamara things up and get into trouble and stuff. And that's the one thing that you tend to worry about when you on a team of 50 plus people, because unlike basketball it's a small group of people. And they can pretty much keep an eye on everybody. It's right. Hard to keep an eye on them. They're 60 motherfuckers. So, you know, just keep their nose clean. I'm gonna enjoy the bye by watching some playoff baseball. for the first time in a while, and some Sixers play, and the Flyers, and the Union. I know that's unpopular, the Union thing, but they're in the playoffs
present,
as well.
Present.
So, Primo? I'm just going to enjoy Philly sports until my birds come back.
I mean, 6-0, what more can you ask for? I mean, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to watching the rest of the NFL teams pretty much beat up on themselves, you know, rooting for any team that's playing against the Giants, Cowboys, and, you know, the Commanders this weekend. So, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, just like what you know, reiterate what you just said. Hope players just play smart. Just, you know, stay home, rest that body, or, you know, hit the machines that's going to go ahead and get you back to 100%, whatever. But, you know, just be smart about it and, you know, look forward to the rest of the season because, you know, we need to stay healthy. We need to keep on being aggressive and we need to play, you know, as a team, as a family. And that's what you guys got going on right now. And we got to continue that. So, you know, the chemistry that's in that locker room, the chemistry that they bring to that field every single weekend, I'm loving it. And I hope to God they just continue it, man. Like nothing should be getting in our way. So, again, I'm going to reiterate one more time. I'm not afraid of anybody. So bring it on. Bring everybody on. I'm ready for them. They're ready for them. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to be at the top of that mountain once again, man. Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
Yeah, just to answer Jason's question real quick. <hold on. laughs> I'm getting word that after the bye week, he'll be all right. I wouldn't stress about it. Concussion, you know, that's the thing that you take a couple weeks, you'd be all right. As long as you're not Tua and you're being rushed back out there, do the proper protocol, you'll be all good. But just to juggle off or piggyback off what Prime just said, man, 6-0. I didn't think we'd be here, man. I was expecting a good season, but I think Mal was the only one that had this us at 6-0 with the bye week here. It's a crazy time to be a Philadelphia sports fan as a whole. Let's go Phillies, bro. Let's go Sixers. Let's go Flyers. And we'll see you guys after the bye. Looking forward to a break.
I did have them 6-0 up at this point. But
pull the tape.
But talk about trips. You know, I talked about going to Dewey Beach. Prime's going to hang out with fam. Tank's going over to Ireland. In Scotland. But talk about trips, big shout out to Philly Sports Trips. If you're trying to go on to some of these away games, they got some upcoming games up that you want to check out and go support your birds. That's what you got to do. You got to go on the road, support your birds. Shout out to Philly Sports Trips. They can get it done. They're the best in the business, and that's why we rock with them. Such great vibes.
My bad. One more thing, Gail. Just also mention that, you know, not only do they go and see the birds, they also follow these other, you know, Philly teams. You know what I mean? So, Phillies, hey, you know, if you guys tune in for Phillies games, Union, especially people that are into soccer, they do all that stuff. But I mean, yeah, we're here dedicated talking about the Eagles, but understand that they do extracurricular events as well. So if you guys are really interested, go check them out. They'll make it happen for a Phillies game. They'll make it happen for a Union game. You know, maybe I'll speak it to existence. Maybe they'll make something happen for Sixers, you know, Flyers game, something like that.
But it's of all the Philly travel companies, it's the best one in the biz, bro. You're staying in the best hotel out of any of them. You're going to have the best event.
Damn, Skippy.
Check out Philly Sports.
Most delicious meats.
Yeah, well, the most delicious foods known to man. Pause on the meats.
But also, just want to shout out to Bud Light again for powering the tailgate, man. You guys have been phenomenal supporting us for the last 6 years. Shout out to Conchi Bakery also supporting us in that lifetime. And shout out to all you Eagle fans that showed up. It's always great to meet your face and talk to you and figure out who you are as people and why you are Birds fans. Yeah, that's the best part of being at a tailgate, meeting people, and they tell you why they listen. And we appreciate you guys.
You started to try to make me misty.
Hey man, it's always a good vibe.
And the Flyers just won.
Flyers just won. Wow, look at that
in your face.
Okay, all
right. Shout out to you, Bruce, for subscribing, my guy.
Thanks, Bruce Banner.
Good word.
Also, shout out to Jesse Wines, who has been helping us out with our branding. Bro. If you need anything creative done, this guy has been putting in work for us behind the scenes. Check out our new header on YouTube. You might like it.
Pause.
You know. But other than that, man, enjoy the rest of the Sixers game. It's the fourth quarter. You got a one quarter left. Yeah, you can read on. In the Phillies.
Let me get to it.
Okay.
So, see you guys in the next one.
We'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly. Go.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards. Save big.